I'm Gooby.
I'm Zuzi.
And I'm Toofy.
We're the Boogie Loves.
Everybody get on your feet.
It's time to bounce.
Producer Ken Weisselman, the marketing guru behind the explosive American success of the Teletubbies and Thomas the Tank Engine, had a vision, a movie for toddlers that encouraged the audience to sing, dance, and interact with the on-screen action. The result was The Oogie Loves in the Big Balloon Adventure, a self-distributed affair that premiered late last month on more than 2,000 screens and featured celebrities like Cary Elwes, Toni Braxton, Christopher Lloyd, and Chaz Palminteri. It was historic in that The Oogie Loves had the worst opening weekend box office in history, earning less than $500,000 over 3 days, or just $206 per screen. We got hold of Entertainment Weekly's Grady Smith, fresh from seeing The Oogie Loves in the theater. Honestly, he sounded a little dazed.
It is so many levels higher on the demented scale than I could have imagined. There is this pillow that only speaks in his own pillow dialect. There are magical balloons. There is a vacuum cleaner named J. Edgar. It is so colorful, and the songs are so weird, and you are forced to say, Goofy, Toofy, pick up your pants, a myriad of times. I just wasn't even expecting something that weird.
It's kind of like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory meets Alice in Wonderland meets Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It's like all those mixed with Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
It only grossed $448,131. They spent something like $40 million on this film. How much of that was for advertising?
Well, they spent $20 million to make the film and then a reported $40 million just to promote it. So that $40 million figure is all marketing.
Now, I'm the parent of former toddlers, and I certainly understand the dynamics of a big toddler-targeted film. The kids somehow know about it through the ether, and somehow you wind up in a line with a bunch of other toddlers to see the opening weekend. Why did that phenomenon not take place with Oogie Loves?
I think the demographic of children seeing a movie like Brave, which made over $230 million this summer, is a couple years older than the type of crowd that Ken Weisselman intended on coming to see the Oogie Loves. He really wanted this to be an experience for young children. He thinks other kids' fare, like Kung Fu Panda, is too violent and too many pop references. So he wanted this to be an interactive experience where toddlers could jump up and down and goof off in the theater, but it clearly didn't work out the way he was intending it to. In 1999, another similar film called Elmo and Grouchland, it only made $11 million total, and it cost $26 million. It was another similar flop, and another example of the fact that maybe toddler entertainment is best left for television or direct-to-DVD or video titles.
I saw some of the clips from the film in one of your blog posts, and I have to say that although the production values are simply pitiful, there was something kind of endearing about watching these celebrities just completely surrender dignity just to be cute in a three-year-old way. I kind of liked it.
I mean, there's something to be said for that. I think the film cost $20 million, and like you said, the production values, they aren't that impressive, so that money had to go somewhere, and I'm guessing these celebrities were paid very well for these appearances, so they have good reason to be gung-ho into their characters. The tolerability of their performances varies. I think Toni Braxton is actually sort of funny. I think Cary Elwes is sort of unbearable. He plays a character named Bobby Wobbly, who literally can't stop wobbling and speaks in a yodel almost and blows bubbles out of his mouth.
Wobble to the left, wobble to the right, wobble bobble all around and bounce with all your might.
About 5 minutes of him on screen gets pretty grating after a while, but I see what you're saying. It is sort of funny to see them be shameless a little bit and not take themselves so seriously that they wouldn't make a movie like this.
Now, the film in and of itself is pretty bizarre, but not as bizarre as what Ken Weisselman told one of your competitors at TheWrap.com. He said that having terrible box office was all part of his master plan. A master plan to turn this not merely into a single one-off film, but a franchise of what?
He says there are plans to make two more movies shot back-to-back in October. And he told us that he had no intention of making money with this movie. I mean, he did say that he's not going to lie and say that these were good numbers and that they were disappointed with them. But by all accounts, it looks like he's planning on moving forward. And according to Ken, the investors are still on board and they're still excited to see where the Oogie Loves go.
When Weisselman talks about how the opening weekend is not going to disrupt his long-term plans, is it possible that he's counting on the Oogie Loves' instant entry into Hollywood lore for having failed so gigantically, that that will somehow propel subsequent projects into the public eye?
I think he really is looking at the big picture. I don't know that he's looking at it totally as a joke just yet. He's really interested in creating a culture of an interactive theater-going experience, which doesn't exist. You're not trained to get up out of your seat when you're sitting in a dark room and dance around. I think, though, there may be the sense that because this bombed so badly, it instantly gains this cult status, whether it's for families or for drug users in various states that want to laugh along with this film.
Grady, thank you very much.
Absolutely, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Grady Smith writes for Entertainment Weekly and EW.com. That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sarah Abdurrahman, Chris Neary, and Doug Anderson, with more help from Lita Martinez and Ariel Stuhlberg. And it was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Cambra Moniz Edwards.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Ellen Horn is WNYC's senior director of national programs. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can listen to the program and find transcripts and read our fabulous blog at onthemedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And you can email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.